بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، my brothers and sisters, as the world progresses and as we live in this society, one of the things that seems to be happening and happening rapidly and happening consistently is the propagation and the profusion of sin. And it has gone to the extent where today the word sin itself has no meaning. If you say sin about something, people think you are some old-fashioned fool who is talking about sins. So it is not, you know, that's, and generally everywhere in the world, this is what's happened. Profusion of sin and propagation of it. And so therefore, those who are people of good sense, please notice, I'm not saying those who are in the work of Dawah, because the work of Dawatul Islam is the work of every Muslim, man, woman and child. There's no special Dawah group or, you know, Dawah organization. To enjoin good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what did Allah say about Amar bin Maruf and Nahi Munkar? Kuntum khaira ummatin. Allah said, you are the best of the people. Who is this kuntum? Everybody, every Muslim. Kuntum khaira ummatin is not an ayat which came for Tablighi Jamaat or Jamaat Islami or whoever. It didn't come for one particular group of people. Kuntum is, who is the mukhatib there? Everyone, every single Muslim. And what are they supposed to do? Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar. Enjoin good and forbid evil. What good? Everything which is good. What evil? Everything which is evil. Small, big. Allah did not say enjoin only the big good and the small evil, leave it. No, everything. Right? Do it in the best way that you can do it, but do it. So, this is a responsibility, collective responsibility. So, now, those of us who are conscious of this responsibility and those of us who are conscious of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. So, in this society, when you enjoin good and forbid evil, one of the first things which happens is you get resistance and you get of different levels. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how weak we are, so Allah does not give us the resistance that He mentioned that the Anbiya got in the Quran. What Allah mentioned with regard to the Anbiya, we don't get that resistance. We get resistance at our level, weak level, but there is some resistance. You know, somebody will point a finger at you, somebody will criticize you, somebody will be angry with you, and so on and so forth. And you, then what happens, that this is what my point today, which is that our tendency then is to get discouraged. Our tendency is to get discouraged, our tendency is to leave the work of enjoining good and forbidding evil, because you say nobody appreciates, nobody thanks, everybody is criticizing, so I leave the work. Now, Allah told us what to do in this particular case. Yeah? Let us see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in Surah Al-Yasin, all the ayat in the beginning which we are all familiar with, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ. So, Allah is mentioning this town where Allah sent two Anbiya, then He strengthen them with a third one. So, three Anbiya went to one single town and they enjoined good and they forbade evil. This is what the Anbiya do, right? So, they say, every Nabi came and said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means what? Means, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we must not confuse these two things. Worship is obedience. There is no other thing. It's not to say that worship in Islam does not mean do your salah and after that eat haram, earn haram, go to haram, no problem. Worship, I'm worshipping Allah. I'm not doing any shirk. I'm not going to some other place. I'm not worshipping idols. I'm worshipping only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in my business, I will lie, I will cheat, I will do this. No, this is not Islam. Worship means obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of life. So, this is what the Anbiya said. Allah told us, this is what the Anbiya said. Then, قَالُوا طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ فَإِنْ ذُكِّرْتُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. They threatened them. So the Anbiya, this was the response of the Anbiya. Now all of this happened. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, a man came, وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. The man came running from the end of the town. He came and he said, obey the Anbiya alayhi salam. Now think about this. What is this man's problem? Why should he come and say, obey the Nabi? He is not the Nabi. He is not saying obey me. He is saying obey the Nabi. Why is he doing that? Because he is a Muslim. Because he is a socially conscious citizen. Because he is a Muslim. Because he knows what is right, what is wrong. He is saying obey the Nabi. Don't do these things which you are doing, which are wrong. These things are bad for you. So what do they do to the man? They kill the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has given him Jannah. Alhamdulillah. Right? Now my point is, resistance to anything which is good, sadly and tragically, ya hasratan ala libad ma yatihim mir rasulin illa kanu bihi yastahziun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same surah, Surah Yasin. I said this is a tragic thing of the people, that there is no Nabi which has come which you have not opposed, which you have not mocked, which you have not tried to harm. Now the point to think about is, what do the Anbiya do? What is it that you and I are doing when you are telling people to do something good? Are you telling them to do something good for your benefit or for their benefit? If somebody tells you, don't drink alcohol, and if you listen to that person, and if you stop drinking alcohol, who benefits? I know this is a dumb, stupid question, but I'm asking them, because this is, then why are you getting angry? My point is, if you are getting angry, you are drinking alcohol. Right? Apart from the haram of it, apart from the sin, you are doing something which is harming you, yourself and your family. And somebody comes, maybe Muslim, may not be Muslim, anybody, any sensible human being, what will he tell you? He says, please don't drink alcohol. Please don't gamble. Please don't put money on horses and on cards and on dogs and whatnot. Don't do that, because this is harmful. Don't drive like a madman on the street. Huh? This is what they will say, no? What else will they say? Don't do something which is harmful. So if you listen to that person, who benefits? You benefit. If you don't listen to that person, don't listen to that person. Please go gamble, ruin your family. What happens to that individual? Nothing. Please drink as much alcohol as you want. Die of cirrhosis or liver. What does it matter? Does it matter to the one who is telling you don't do it? How does it matter to him? You would die. Drive like a madman, crash, kill somebody else, die yourself. The point to understand is that when somebody is telling you to do something for your good, it is for your good. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said two things to his Anbiya. One, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, for you, your job only is to state clearly what the reality is. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْصَبَرِ. Invite towards good and do sabr. Your job is to say. And to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically, which applies to all the Anbiya, which applies to Nabi Alaihi Wasallam, which applies also to all of us who follow him, inshallah, Mustafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. He said, oh my dear Nabi, oh my Rasul, communicate what has been sent to you. بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَةً. And if you do not do this, then you have not fulfilled your duty as a Rasul. وَاللَّهُ يَاسِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will save you and protect you from the people. Right? Now, Allah is not saying, if you don't do this because there is a doubt on the on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's integrity or anything. Allah knows what the Nabi is doing. This is a warning for anyone else who comes thereafter to say that your job is to communicate. That's it. No need to get discouraged, no need to feel sad, bad, glad, bad, nothing. Your job is to communicate. Also, no need to be afraid of communicating. Don't say, you know, if I say people will be offended, let them be offended. No problem. Because if they are offended, they are demonstrating their own stupidity and foolishness. That is all. Take for example, the thing which I keep talking all the time. Not to be members of clubs which have haram activities. In Hyderabad, the race club is absolutely clear. The race club is established for a haram activity. There is nothing else. It is called the race club. What else do you want to say about it? So, it is established for gambling. So, if somebody is a member of the race club, then I don't think there is any issue there at all. Because obviously, you are a member of a club which has been established for the propagation of haram. But let us look at the social clubs. First of all, when you say clubs, I am certainly not against sports clubs and, you know, you have a club for long distance running or you have a club for photography. So, I've got no problem with that. I am talking about clubs which are established for social clubs. So, here, default in social clubs is there will be a bar and there will be a gambling room. There will also be, New Year's Eve parties and Christmas parties and so on, in which there is dancing and there is music and everything else which is haram. But leave that aside for the moment, the bar and the card room. Now, usual argument, after all, there is a bar also in a five-star hotel. We go there to have a meal. What about that? First of all, did I say you should go to five-star? I didn't. Don't go. But even if you go, legally the difference. In a club, a member is a shareholder of the club. Simplest question to ask is to say, if this club is shut down tomorrow and if the property is sold, what happens to the money? So look in your bylaws. The proceeds from the sale of the club will go to the shareholders. Who are the shareholders? The members. If a hotel is sold, proceeds go to whom? Will you get 1 cent out of it? If Taj Krishna is sold tomorrow, will you get 1 cent out of it because you went and had dinner one day? If you are a member of the gym in Taj Krishna or the swimming pool there, because we don't have a swimming pool at home, there is a pool there. You say, well, I want to go and I want to swim, so there is a pool. And you become a member of the pool. Tomorrow the hotel is sold. Will Krishna Reddy come and give you some money because you were a member of the pool? No. You are only using a particular facility in the hotel as a customer. And my point is, if you have a problem with that, don't use that also. Don't swim. Did you swim or not is not a question on the day of Hashar. But in a club, you are legally a shareholder. What is the meaning of shareholder? Meaning of shareholder means, for example, if I ask you, will you buy shares in HSBC Bank? Should you buy? Should you buy shares in McDowell's or in Johnny Walker or an alcohol company? Should you buy? You say, no, you see, I am not drinking. There is no whiskey in my house. I am not serving whiskey. I have only one share in that company. Is it halal? It's not a question of one share or 1,000 shares. It's not a question of whether you are drinking the whiskey or not drinking the whiskey. You are a shareholder in an establishment in which this haram activity happens. So, if somebody comes and tells you, please get out of that. Please don't be in that. I mean, those of you who know English, the word club means what? Don't club me with them. What does it mean? You don't say, don't hotel me with them. Do you say that? So, don't club me with them. What does it mean? It means together for a purpose. So, my point is, somebody tells you, don't be a member of that club. Who will benefit if you listen to that? The guy telling you or yourself? Okay. You don't like that? Don't obey him. Is he putting a noose around your neck and dragging you out from the club? No. He is only telling you. You tell him, thank you for telling me, I will not obey you. Don't obey. Why do you get angry? Why do you abuse the guy? Why do you bad talk the guy? No, alhamdulillah, most welcome. As far as I am concerned, I am very happy. Let everybody bad talk me. I am very happy because all your good deeds come into my account. I have got no objection. I am a lazy man. I don't like to do effort. If somebody is giving me his good deeds for free, I am very happy. But I am saying it's not that. That's not the issue. The issue is, ask yourself this question. Ask a very simple question. Why are you angry? And I am only giving you one example. But anyone who tells you to do something which is good, somebody says, get off Facebook. Don't waste your time. Don't waste whose time? If you are on Facebook, is my time being wasted or your time being wasted? If you don't waste your time, and instead of Facebook, if you read something beneficial, if you make dhikr, if you read Quran, if you simply go to sleep, who benefits, me or you? So, if somebody tells you something which is purely for your own benefit and you get angry because of that, what does that show? Simple question to ask. What does that show? So, my address and my, you know, audience is not people who get angry and so on and so forth. I don't care about that. I'm talking about the people like you and me, whose job, who understand our work, who understand our job, which is to enjoy in good and forbid evil, not because of anything else, but because Allah told us to do this. And because this is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us understand, no need to get angry, don't react, don't respond, don't feel discouraged, nothing. You do your work. Do what you know is right. Do what you know you should do. If somebody is angry with you, that is his problem, it's not your problem. Because one day, you will meet Allah and he will also meet Allah. That there is no running away from. One day you will die and he or she will also die. You will also meet Allah and he or she will also meet Allah. There you will say, Ya Allah, I enjoined good and I forbade evil. I told people to obey you. I told people to obey your Nabi. I told people to stay away from haram. This is what you will say. What the other person will say, let him decide. Simple as that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to stay focused on what we should do, on what is beneficial for us and what is beneficial for others, and to be in a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our faults and Allah will reward us for what we did. بالتوفيقه تعالى by his own tawfiq وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.